We are back on the Society 9 Fight Within podcast. My name is Lynn, and I'm the founder of Society 9. For those of you joining us for the first time, Society 9 is a modern women's sports brand providing boxing gear and sportswear to empower you and your fight. I wanted to spend this episode talking about something that I've been nerding out on and reading about, as well as reflecting, which is something called allostatic load. I became curious about it because every friend, peer, business meeting, basically any human interaction I've had since COVID started, always starts out with a conversation between myself and the other person. And we talk about how, even though it feels like a lot of our culture has slowed down, we feel still like more exhausted than ever. And on my own accord, being a small business owner, navigating the last 4 months has, you know, certainly been crazy work days, making super hard decisions, some that feel like they take everything out of me. But even so, I understand completely what they're talking about. Despite doing my best to do the things I control to make sure that I rest as best as I can, from, you know, making sure that I'm active, which walking counts, people. I know we're a fitness brand and a sports brand, but, you know, we're discounting very simple acts that count as a solid workout. But, you know, making sure I'm active, eating reasonably healthy. I mean, I definitely have a thing for fried chicken right now. I've definitely admit that. Sleeping, you know, the drain just can't seem to improve. And that's certainly within my own realm of privilege. So I want to make that super clear. You know, I'm not an essential worker. I'm also not a working parent. So the injustices and challenges that they're suffering from right now too is a whole other topic that I feel like we could totally do for another podcast. Like, don't even get me started. But this led me down to kind of a nerdy rabbit hole, and I have a tendency to do this. I fixate on a concept, an idea, thought, or an issue, and then I start Googling like crazy. I'll buy books. I'll just really dive in deep. And I've always understood and known that stress, of course, is bad for you, and we all know that. But this constant state that we're all in, and with no estimate of when it'll end, I really wanted to understand what we face separate from the pandemic itself with our health. And that's where I started learning about allostatic overload. And basically, in general, and according to the National Institute of Health, as well as an academically published piece by a guy named Bruce McEwen, shout out to Bruce, he published this piece. Again, it's an academically researched piece. It was published in the Journal of Psychiatry and Neuroscience. This is from his paper. Allostatic states can produce wear and tear on the regulatory systems in the brain and body. The terms, quote, allostatic load, end quote, and allostatic overload refer to the cumulative results of an allostatic state. For example, fat deposition in a bear preparing for winter, a bird preparing to migrate, or a fish preparing to spawn. Either of these can be considered the result of the daily and seasonal routines that organisms use to obtain food for survival and extra energy for migration, molting, breeding, and other seasonal activities. Within limits, these routines involve adaptive responses to seasonal and other demands. And this is the line that, like, really struck a nerve with me. However, if the additional load of unpredictable events in the environment, such as storms, natural disasters, disease outbreaks, disturbances caused by humans, and antagonistic social interactions is superimposed, then allostatic load can increase dramatically to become allostatic overload. Allostatic overload serves no useful purpose and predisposes the individual to disease. And that's the end of the snippet there. So what he's saying, in other words, is that, well, what's happening right now and why we're all constantly feeling drained. I mean, yes, it feels obvious, but it's feels good to have a name. You know, we're all enduring a collective trauma, and we're in a persistent state of fight or flight, and you know, our bodies and minds are heightened for survival, you know, with this pandemic right now. I think about it even when, you know, I go running, for instance, and I wear a neck gaiter so that I'm always ready to pull up my face mask if someone's walking by, a group of people, whatever. But I can even sense my heart rate. I can literally feel my heartbeat thump into my throat when I see people approaching, not because of, you know, that they're doing anything antagonistic, but just we're in a pandemic right now. And I'm like, oh crap, you know? But so then, I don't know. So reading about allostatic overload and then reflecting on it a little bit and thinking about everything that's going on between, you know, our current chapter of, you know, the civil rights movement here, and then also the pandemic, you know, philosophically, sociologically, you know, when you think about then how allostatic overload disproportionately affects all communities, when you compare white communities, black communities, native, brown, Asian communities, this is where you can start seeing why communities are being disproportionately affected by COVID and general health problems, you know, even pre-COVID. If suffering anxiety due to racism puts communities of color historically in overdrive when it comes to allostatic overload. I mean, forget overload. It's allostatic overdrive, you know, fighting to feel safe against everyday racist acts and microaggressions is a persistent state of allostatic overload. There's a load and then there's overload. And then for communities of color, especially black, brown, and native communities, it's constant overdrive. I even think about my own experience as a Asian American woman. I'm Vietnamese American. You know, when the very beginning of Corona hit, and it's still going on, of course. So, you know, but I'm just going back in time a couple months ago, before mask ordinances became, you know, government fodder, you know, before it was just like, yeah, wear a mask if you want, but like no one was enforcing it, right? I, in my gut though, because I read, go figure, I always knew that masks, well, because, you know, in reading how other countries have responded and seeing how in Asian countries, you know, the mask wearing reduced rates dramatically, I wanted to wear a mask. In fact, I had traveled to China last year in 2019, summer 2019 to deal with our shoe production. And, you know, I had a mask because it's just like standard part of the uniform. And so I still had mine from last year. And I, when all this went down, I wanted to wear my mask as a matter of safety. I was like, well, this is an easy thing to do. It's just like putting on some jewelry, you know? But I even felt a heightened state of, you know, intense anxiety because, you know, first of all, I'm Asian in a predominantly white city. And, you know, there was a lot of intense racism around associating coronavirus with Asian people. You know, we've got Society 9 customers, brand ambassadors, et cetera, in New York. I've seen some of them post about, you know, hate crimes happening on the streets in broad daylight towards Asian people. And I'm not saying this as if I'm like shocked, right? Like we live in an inherently problematic country where our history is just seeped in racism. I mean, that's in our roots. So like on the one hand, I'm like, I'm not surprised in the sense of the fact that racism exists. But on the other hand, you know, like the rate and the explosion of types of racism, hate crimes, etc., now being committed in broad daylight. And I'm speaking in the context of Asian American communities, with my whole mask wearing example here. So I'm not trying to diminish or reduce the realities that Black, Brown, and Native communities face each and every single day and have so for decades, centuries. But so going back to what I was saying about just even in my own small example, you know, I had so much anxiety wearing a mask because I was like, am I going to get spat on? Am I going to get beat up going to the grocery store because I'm going to be the one random person who's clearly Asian and she's wearing a mask? You know, it's just so that, I mean, that's just a small but a pretty serious example, a realistic one, one where like people, like I had heard from different people in the Vietnamese community about other Vietnamese people they knew just going to like Costco wearing a mask and being yelled at, you know, for quote-unquote carrying the coronavirus here. I mean, it's just it's a lot. So then another layer as I'm, you know, reading about allostatic overload and then just thinking about how it affects humans, because of course the paper was talking about animals. Humans are animals, but anyway, so thinking about how it applies to humans, when you're layering poverty, access to health care, and then, you know, right now with the pandemic, being deemed an essential worker, but then being grossly underpaid and underprotected, and then you throw the layer of anxiety and fear in there due to racism, there's a real gross health imbalance here. And on a smaller level, but still relevant to our discussion here, I think about this a lot in the context of the fitness and wellness industry, which is also grossly imbalanced in terms of access inequality. You know, it's, I feel like a lot of the narrative in fitness is like it's being healthy is attempted to be simplified, right? You just work out, you eat reasonably well, you control sleep, etc., to be healthy. But the truth is, and this is where like the aha moment, I guess you can call it a little bit of an aha moment, for me in reading about allostatic states and then reflecting on how we are as humans, you know, humanity, it's not enough for people to just work out and eat well or reasonably well, you know, control sleep, etc., to be healthy. And keep in mind, I'm not saying fit, right? Because I think fit creates a different visual. And I'm not even talking about that. We're talking about basic, reasonable health maintenance. I don't actually think it's possible in a racist and discriminatory world. And that sounds like a no-brainer. And it is. It should be, right? But, I mean, I think obviously with what we're seeing with the crossing of the pandemic challenges, as well as the civil rights marches, protests that are occurring right now, and then thinking about how those cross into each other in this complex Venn diagram and all the layers of what keeps people from being healthy. Because again, I'm thinking about this in the context of Society Night, of course, right? We're a sports brand. We're naturally, of course, always going to think about health, fitness, being active, etc. And I'm just realizing how much we as an industry have a long ways to go to changing our narrative around what it means to be healthy, because it actually starts with us. You know, fitness has long been treated as a nice to have, something that you have once you have the money, have moved up in life. And don't get me wrong, facilities, trainers, and staff, those things cost money. Their services are valuable and they need to be paid for. But that's not specifically what I'm getting at. I'm talking about this from a more sociological and philosophical perspective. And especially to those of you listening, as well as my fellow peers in the sports, fitness, and wellness industry, it's like, how do we create change knowing this? We can't help keep people healthy and well if we inherently live in a racist and discriminatory world. It just simply isn't possible. It's not feasible. And we can't hold athletes as our example, right? Or even trainers, because respect to them, that is their profession. They live, eat, and breathe fitness. And, you know, yes, they serve as our models, they serve as our role models. They serve as our inspiration, and rightly so. I mean, the things that their bodies can do, their strength, their mentality, all worth the admiration, absolutely. But we also have to address, like, okay, if we are trying to encourage people to, you know, do the best they can, and you just got to be active. I put air quotes around just, right? It's like, it's not actually that simple, because it starts even deeper with all of us, not the client, not the customer, but it starts deeper with all of us as industry professionals. We have to ask ourselves what we can do to help the client or customer in their wellness journey. And it starts with ourselves. It starts with how are we acting and perpetuating microaggressions or discriminatory acts, racist acts that we don't even realize that then impedes on their ability to just be well. Because if we're contributing, going back to science here, taken directly from Bruce's academic paper, you know, he stated that if the additional load, you know, that is allostatic load, if the additional load of unpredictable events in the environment and listed in there is antagonistic social interactions, you know, we really have to think about how our own actions and how we perpetuate the things that we say and we do prevent people from being healthy. And I feel like we're in a really unique time and place to really think about that, to really think deeply about what we can do in this position of influence, this position of like, yeah, we have businesses to run, sure, but like, I mean, if anything that this time is teaching us is like the old ways are not going to work anymore. And so how do we work together to make sure that we rewrite the narrative about encouraging health? And it starts with us. I say us, I don't mean clients and customers. I say us, as in the quote, you know, leaders or influencers, people who have influence of any sort. I'm not talking about Instagram influencers necessarily, okay? I'm talking about like the products that we make, the marketing that we do, how we talk to our customers, how we talk to our clients, you know, in the case of gyms, how are we talking to them? How are we connecting to them? How are we listening to them? Emphasis on listening. So yeah, I'm going to say it again. It's not enough for people to quote, just work out and eat reasonably well and control sleep and all that stuff to be healthy. You know, and maintain basic health maintenance. It's actually not possible in a racist and discriminatory world. And the ability for everyone to, quote, be healthy and to pursue that just isn't real. So I'm going to leave that with you today. It's something I hope that we can all, as an industry and as general active enthusiasts, can really sink into and reflect on as we work to endure. we still got a couple months, friends, to endure through 2020 and think about how we write a new future. So peace out. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Stay distant. Quit it with the parties. Peace and love. See you.